Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent soulmate and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom to all as we continue our study in the typological book of Ruth after our weekly update on Israel, as it is another amazing week, closer to Daniel 9:27 and that false peace treaty, also declared in 1 Thessalonians 5. So let us give the utmost gratitude that we are alive for such a time as this.
Abba, Father, creator of the universe, we are very grateful for the opportunity to share alongside you the culmination of all things. We pledge continual servitude as you are our Emmanuel, and we pray that our lost loved ones receive your redemption soon while there is still time. We pray the war in Gaza is over quickly, and we thank you for the peace deal in the Congo after 30 years of conflict. Give wisdom to all our leaders. Bless tonight's study, and may it bring a smile to your face. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
So what about the Gaza situation?
Well, Trump says a peace deal is almost done. He said this morning, maybe next week. And of course, that's due to Iran's demise, along with the Palestinian people. They're rising up even more than before, since the son of one of the clans was killed by Hamas.
What do you mean by a clan?
Actually, it's a family, but there are so many in their families over there, which includes their relatives, so they can use the term clan along with the family name, as in Barbar clan, and that's whose son was killed. One of the other clans is called the Gangs of Gaza, who stole some guns from Hamas, who are also partaking.
So it looks like Hamas is on the way out.
Well, it does appear that way, although many are just relocating to the Judean Samaria area, also known as the West Bank, where there is right now a lot of fighting going on.
What about the continuing talks of a two-state solution?
Well, talks about that are continuing, sadly, mostly because of Saudi Arabia's insistence, or they just won't join the Abraham Accords, which we know is the foundation for the Daniel 9 peace treaty.
Yeah, and you know, Trump really wants that to happen.
So far, the Israeli terms are that Hamas leaves the area entirely, and then four Arab nations could patrol the Gaza.
Yeah, Egypt, Syria, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan.
But here's where the split comes, and prophecy really takes shape. And that Trump is going along with some kind of a Palestinian state, as well as, and I saw this in writing, Israel being limited of its sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. And we know through scripture that will be a part of Jerusalem to likely include the Temple Mount.
Yeah, you know, that's the tipping point.
It is, as far as God is concerned. Because God won back Jerusalem for the Jews in 1967, and to give any sovereignty away is a slap in God's face. God doesn't mind when the enemy uses his land, as they have been doing, but Israel is not to give any ownership away permanently, which is what they likely will do to fulfill scripture, as in Joel 3, verse 2, and Ezekiel 36, verse 5.
And you just gave a Selah moment.
Yeah, it is, in fact, and we had a question about that word Selah, which is used often in the Psalms, which means to pause. And think about what you just read. You know, the Psalms are actually lyrics to music. And when the musician sees the note meaning Selah, there would be a pause in the music.
Like take a moment to reflect.
Exactly.
So, what's new in Iran?
Well, besides their proxies in Yemen, who are still shooting missiles into Israel, thankfully most are being intercepted, Iran has been saying they will continue their nuclear program, which is not a surprise to studiers of prophecy, for they must still prepare for Ezekiel 38, which happens around the third year of the tribulation. And right now, drones are hitting various areas in Iran.
So, who's doing it?
Well, perhaps some rogue fighters, but most believe it's from the undercover Mossad, who want to continue taking out key players and to destroy other secretive nuclear sites that are probably still remaining. And the Ayatollah is still hiding in a bunker with Iran's airspace remaining closed.
Will the U.S. still meet with Iran?
Not at this time. But Netanyahu is coming to D.C., and that's set for Monday at this point.
And Trump, you know, he just had a good week.
He certainly did, along with the peace treaty in the Congo and the Supreme Court siding with him over a number of things as limiting the power, the lower court's power over Trump's orders. And parents' rights against the LGBTQ literature in public schools, the rise in the stock market, lower gas prices, and NATO is promising to pay its fair share.
And they even called him their daddy.
I know. Unfortunately, can you believe the Dems want a communist for mayor in New York? Yep.
All right, then. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Okay, what have we covered thus far in a nutshell?
Well, Ruth is a story read during the spring season that includes Pentecost, which is a remembrance that both Jews and Gentiles can be one under his olive tree, which is why they wave two loaves of bread, baked now with leaven, to represent a future fulfillment of his Passover, which now for us has happened, and sin is no longer a burden. Around 1200 B.C., the Gentile Ruth, now a widow, joins in with her mother-in-law Naomi's Jewish family back in Bethlehem to serve their God.
A long, arduous journey from Moab.
Yes, a picture of our journey of life being at times also arduous.
As well, this story is a great typology of how we are to feel about Israel, too.
Yes. Ruth, a Gentile, marries the Jewish man Boaz while gleaning in his field, who is Naomi's redeemer to her land, and a typology of our marriage to Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer, who also redeemed the land by his sacrifice and will physically take over when, as we read in Revelation 5, is given the scroll,
which is the title deed to the earth,
which is now an escrow.
That's a good analogy.
Mm-hmm. And then the meal that they shared together, also being a type of the Last Supper.
Kind of a picture of our communion.
It is a picture. Naomi instructs Ruth to lay at Boaz's feet, which is a servant's position, on the threshing floor, where Boaz was keeping a watch over his newly harvested grain.
And so she did.
Yes, which startled the sleeping Boaz as she called him her redeemer.
Her goel, and also his maidservant.
Which just means she was able to marry. And to take her under his wing, but more commonly spoken, under the hem of his garment, symbolizing Boaz's authority.
Hebrew roots 101.
Mm-hmm. You know, like a hem of Jesus' garment that had healing powers?
Malachi 4:2 and Matthew 14.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, do not misunderstand this passage. You know, in our culture, it would seem that she was propositioning him, but there is much more going on here. When Ruth said this to Boaz, she was making a claim on him to put her to wife because he was obligated under the law of the Levirate marriage. And here's another gold nugget. No matter how much Boaz was drawn to Ruth, and he was, as she gleaned in his field, also under their law, she would have to make the first move. And therefore, she had to do it. See the picture?
Jesus loves all of us, but we personally must open the door and invite him in.
Exactly. Okay, now we'll see, now we'll read how Boaz answers her in chapter 3, verse 10.
Then Boaz said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether rich or poor."
If she had only wanted a marriage, a younger man would have sufficed, but they were not Goliath. And that would have only benefited Ruth and not Naomi. Ruth needed a close relative to also redeem the land back for Naomi. Ruth considered her own happiness as secondary. Verse 11.
"And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all of the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I."
So, under the Mosaic Law, the duty fell upon the closest male relative, unless he waived his right of priority. Verse 13.
"Stay this night."
And by the way, stay is number 3885, LUN, or L-U-N in Hebrew. And it means all sexual implication is removed. Had the word been shakav, that does suggest sexual connotations. But L-U-N does not. Even in the very crucible time of temptation, they proved themselves righteous by choosing integrity over passion. Boaz promised to resolve the issue beginning the very next day. Then Boaz puts himself under the oath by saying, "As Yahweh lives." Again, verse 13.
"Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord Yahweh lives. Lie down until morning."
So let me repeat. When they were in the very crucible of temptation, they proved themselves righteous by choosing integrity over passion. Boaz promised to resolve the issue beginning the very next day. Then Boaz puts himself under the oath. As you saw, he said, "Yahweh lives." Okay, verse 14.
"So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, 'Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor.' 15. Also he said, 'Bring the shawl that is on you and hold it.' And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city."
So Boaz gave it for Naomi, not Ruth. And that's, of course, confirmed, we'll see, in verse 18. But apparently there was a custom of giving 6 ephahs, as in God took 6 days for creation and rested not till the 7th day. By giving 6 of anything, it meant he would not rest till the matter was resolved. And Naomi understood this, as we'll see in a minute here. So let's finish this chapter, verses 16 through 18.
"When she came to her mother-in-law and said, "Is that you, my daughter?" Then she told her all the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, 'Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day."
Okay, now looking back, we saw in chapter 1 love's resolve of Ruth cleaving to Naomi. Then in chapter 2, we saw love's response where Ruth was gleaning. And then love's request in chapter 3 at the threshing floor scene. And now we'll see love's reward in chapter 4, the redemption of both. Chapter 4, verse 1.
"Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, 'Come aside, friend, sit down here.' So he came and sat down."
Now notice that they sat at the gate. The city gate was where transactions and legal business was carried out, Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 8. The gate of a typically walled city is similar to what you and I would consider like the city hall. In the ancient tribal traditions, the city was protected, and the people that came and went would go through the gate. And the people in authority over the city would check their credentials at the gate.
We call it vetting.
Yes, and if there was an issue, one would meet the elders at the gate of the city, as in Genesis 19:1. Boaz was obviously a wealthy landowner. He also sits at the city gate, which implies that he could have been the mayor of the city. When Boaz asks this man to sit down, he does so without question.
So Boaz was someone who was obeyed.
Mm-hmm. And remember, Abraham purchased a burial place for Sarah at the city gate.
Genesis 23.
And Absalom won converts by offering to settle their disputes in their favor at the city gate.
2 Samuel 15:2.
And kings would sit at the city gate for legal business.
2 Samuel 19:8 and Jeremiah 38:7.
The city gate was the place for judging the manslayer.
Joshua 20 and verse 4.
Criminal acts were judged at the city gate.
Deuteronomy chapter 21 and chapter 22.
As well, the city gate was a place for socializing.
Psalm 127 verse 5.
Continue now in verse 2 of Ruth of chapter 4.
"And Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down."
More confirmation that Boaz had no problem telling the men what to do, and they did it.
You know, why 10 men?
10 elders was the rabbinical basis for the minyan, and that's required by Jewish law to be present before a Jewish synagogue service could be conducted for an important meeting.
"Then he said to the close relative Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, 'Sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech.'"
Okay, so the land needed to be redeemed for Naomi. Here, Boaz is calling the attention of this man to the fact that Naomi is in need of a kinsman redeemer, or Goel, to step up and redeem the land for her. Now that she is back in town, so that was the rule. And another good example of this is in Jeremiah 32, verse 6, that you might want to read on your own. But remember, he had to be a kinsman.
Hebrew 2:16.
And he had to be willing.
Romans 3:24 and Hebrews 12:2.
and he had to be able.
Hebrews 7:25.
And he had to assume all obligations, as Philippians 2:9 attests to about Jesus, our kinsman redeemer Christ. And again, like Boaz, is not free to move on our behalf until we alone claim him as our kinsman redeemer.
You know, I tell you that the typology in this book is breathtaking.
There's so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes a heart-dropping moment for Boaz in verse 4.
And I.
That's meaning Boaz speaking to the other redeemer.
Thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it.
When Boaz thought he said he would redeem it, his heart dropped into his sock. So now Boaz has to get really firm. Verse 5.
Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the land of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance.
Boaz doesn't withhold his punches. As a rule, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord.
Deuteronomy 23:3.
However, there are exceptions, and this is one of them. And Boaz wanted to make sure he knew that, and that it was not just the land. For Ruth was requesting both. Verse 6.
And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it.
Phew. In other words, he would have to invest his own money, first of all, to redeem the land, and then having to marry Ruth and produce a son through her meant that son would legally be the son of Mahlon, her dead husband. Therefore, the one to inherit the property. The kinsman would thus end up losing both the property and the investment. Moreover, not only would Ruth's son inherit the property of the kinsman who redeemed, he would also inherit part of the kinsman's own personal property. And since he would lose his investment, the redeemed property, and part of his own land, the kinsman would be depriving his own heirs. Okay, we're going to pick this up again next week. In fact, I believe we'll probably finish it. So you have a lot to chew on. I hope you'll read this on your own. Again, just you and the Lord, taking little notes and write them in your corners of your Bible down along the side for future. But I do need to ask you, is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says you can escape the horrors of the soon coming judgment with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your heart. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the God of this world, for Jesus is your kinsman redeemer. And if he's not ruling your life, then Satan is, because there's no in between. The Aaronic blessing, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And pray for our president, Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.